Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. I'm reading from chapter 17 of John's gospel, and it's on page 880 in the Pew Bibles. And we are eavesdropping on Jesus at prayer. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Christ. Do take your seats. From the beginning of time, people have told stories. Stories of all kinds. Stories that are true. Stories that are made up. Stories that are quite fantastical. Stories that are based in time as it is now, or in the past, or the future. And I have a story to tell you this morning. It's true, and it was set about 100 years ago. There were two young men called Geoffrey and Billy. And they were together in a church group called Crusaders. It was renamed in this century in 2006 to be much more trendy sounding, and it's called Urban Saints. However, Billy, who was 8 years older than Geoffrey, was the leader of the group. And the aim of the group was to teach the Bible to young people who didn't attend church. And their motto was, looking unto Jesus. Now, I hope in your minds you're completing that Bible verse. The author and finisher of our faith. It's Hebrews 12, verse 2. Well, Geoffrey did attend church because he was brought up in a Christian home. And at the age of 15, he made a decision for himself that he believed and accepted Jesus as his personal saviour. And he was baptised in the tradition of that church by full immersion. At the age of 20, Geoffrey felt guided by the Holy Spirit that he should go as a missionary to Tibet. And when he was 26, the elders of his church recognised and agreed with his call. And so off he went, travelled to the far interior of China, near the border of Tibet, with his fellow missionary, George. Well, they had 3 years of intensive study to learn the Chinese language, and through learning that, to get a working knowledge of the Tibetan language. They immersed themselves in the life and culture of the Tibetan people. And so it was there that Geoffrey witnessed the last days of Tibetan independence, and he was taken into captivity for more than 3 years. He's about age 30 by this time. At first, he was held in solitary confinement in a small cell which was barely large enough for him to turn around in. And he later likened this experience to that of his Lord and Saviour Jesus, who, through taking on the limitations of human flesh, was confined to a human body. The Chinese were convinced that Geoffrey was a spy for Britain, and so he was threatened almost daily with execution. And there were threats made about his family back in England. His captors tried to break his spirit with brainwashing, but through it all, he was encouraged and sustained by the scripture verses that he had memorized as a crusader in his youth, and by singing some of the great hymns of faith. I don't know if you noticed this morning, but our first hymn was based on Psalm 104, and our second hymn was written by Melody Green and was based on scripture. So when we sing these hymns, we're actually singing the scripture as well. And that's what Geoffrey found himself doing in prison. In all, he was held in the captivity of the communist Chinese for 3 years and 2 months. And finally, he was released in Hong Kong to British authorities. He wrote several books in his lifetime. And one is an account of his imprisonment and release. And that's called When Iron Gates Yield. And a sequel to that is entitled God Holds the Key. Those of you who know old hymns will be singing in your head, God holds the key to all unknown, and I am glad. And that sequel is subtitled Meditations from the Prison Years. Because one of his ways of keeping his sanity and his faith during those years was to meditate on the whole of the Bible. So he would start at Genesis and work through in his memory, telling the Bible stories that he knew and meditating as he got to them on those particular verses that he had committed to memory. His Crusader Bible study group leader, Billy, was delighted to receive copies of both of those books. And he was encouraged by Geoffrey's testimony of the impact of those early years on his faith and his resilience provided by that faith in such difficult times. I remember the books on our bookshelves at home because Billy was my dad. We've read about imprisonment in our Acts reading today and of release from prison. Paul and Silas were put in prison as a result of their activities promoting the gospel in the town of Philippi, which we heard something about last week in our reading as well. Paul and Silas are attracting crowds to listen, but they're also attracting the attention of a woman who is under the control of a spirit of divination, a demonic spirit associated with the worship of the python, which was a mythical snake which was worshipped at Delphi and associated with the Delphi Oracle. She recognised the Spirit of God at work in Paul and Silas, and she began stalking them and shouting out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She recognised God at work in them, but she was not responding to the glory of God or to the message of Paul and Silas, and Paul got fed up with hearing her. Paul became so annoyed, we read, that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And she was released from that spirit, much to the annoyance of her owners. She would have been an enslaved woman. And when they realized that their way of making money from her divinations was gone, they turned against Paul and Silas, had them dragged before the authorities and put in prison. And it's here that we see Paul and Silas using their time doing what? Praying and singing hymns to God, rather like Geoffrey in prison in Tibet. They have their faith intact and their ability to communicate direct with God and to worship him. Nothing. No amount of stocks and gates and ties can prevent that. And their hymns would have been the Book of Psalms, part of their scripture, committed to memory, as it wouldn't be much written down, and sung to the glory of God. And I wondered if they might have been singing the psalm that is set for this service today in our lectionary. The Lord is kind. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw it and trembled. It certainly did in our story. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Not a lot to give thanks for, we might think, when you're held in prison. But the mindset of those saints, Paul and Silas and Geoffrey in the 20th century, are focused on the glory of God, on his faithfulness, his salvation and his promises. And that's where their strength and their resilience and their inspiration comes from. If we had read on to the end of the chapter in Acts, because you always want to know what happens next, don't you? We would have heard how the magistrates came to the jailer next day with the order that Paul and Silas be released. Paul didn't let them off so lightly. What they'd done was against their own laws. To be a Roman citizen was definitely against the law, especially without a trial. And the officers of the magistrates asked them to leave the city, causing too much trouble. So after going to Lydia's house and encouraging the newly formed community of worshipping believers there, they left. The glory of God had been revealed in so many ways in this city. The exorcism of the evil spirit, the conversion of the jailer and all his household, the miraculous release from prison, and the formation of a new community of believers who could carry on the good work of spreading the good news. And our gospel reading, once more we're in the red print, the words of Jesus, and it's a part of a prayer where Jesus prayed to be glorified, that the glory of God the Father should be fully revealed in him. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him all authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Then Jesus prayed for his disciples, those who had been with him over those 3 years and learned from him and been his friends. And then finally, in that passage we read today, Jesus prays for us. Because he prays for those who will believe in me through their message. Through the faithful message of the disciples and all who have followed in the years since, we have come to believe. And so this prayer is for us. And what Jesus prays for us sets the bar very high. He prays for us to be in complete unity. And the unity he's talking about here, he describes as the same level of unity as there is between the Father and the Son. And that unity of believers should speak to the outside world and have the effect on them that they would come to believe also. I have given them the glory that you gave me. The glory of God rested on Jesus as his life was characterized by humility and service. And this is his desire for us, that we should serve humbly as he did, so that God's glory can be seen in us. We know from our reading of the book of Acts that Paul and Silas continued in the mission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ right across the known world. Geoffrey, after his time in prison in Tibet, returned to England, where in 1955 aged about 34, he married, and then he continued to serve God as a missionary in Borneo. After he retired from the mission field, he continued to preach and teach in his church. And finally, he died or was called home at the age of 78 in 1999. So was the prayer of Jesus that we have read from John 17, was it answered in the lives of Paul and Silas and Jeffrey? Was the glory of God revealed in their lives of obedient, humble and faithful service? It's great to hear stories. We all love to tell and read. And when those stories are stories that are recorded in the Bible and stories of the saints since Bible times who've continued to live in humble obedience, we need to do more than just listen and tell those stories. We need to hear them in the biblical sense of that word. We need to respond with our lives in the way that God calls each one of us to live out our faith, the faith that he has given to us. We each need to know Jesus as the Saviour sent for us, the one who God has made known to us. In the words of Jesus, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Amen.